Good morning, everyone, and welcome to morning worship. A special welcome to any who are visiting with us today. And I would remind you that there's always a cup of tea or coffee available after the service in the hall. The new copies of Life and Work are available at the back of the church, so if you have ordered one, please pick it up. There's to be a commissioning service for school and street pastors on Tuesday the 25th of February, and I realise to my horror that that's actually 2 days away, at 7 p.m. It's in Forest Baptist Church on Clovenside Road, and there wasn't a church there when I lived in Forest, but I would say that's just beside the cemetery. Is that right, Jim? You don't know. The doors open at 6:30 p.m. and all are welcome to attend. A reminder about the Urquhart evening service tonight at 7 o'clock. June handed me a card that Felicity Calabrese came with to her. It was from her mother, Anne Simpson, who is now in Anderson's home. She was given the church flowers for her 98th birthday and was absolutely delighted to be remembered in that way. So there's a card here, and I'll put it on the welcome table for you all to see. There also was a card from Jim Perry's family. You would have noticed in the paper that Jim Perry died, and his folks also got flowers. Now, I have an awful lot this morning. Alistair knew what he was doing being away this weekend. Now, this is about group meetings at the Cotter House, and from what I can make out, it's definitely a Church of Scotland thing, this, because it's a Church of Scotland email address that's at the bottom. It's a share and think faith, explore and ask questions together. And there's quite a few dates there. It looks about 7 or 8 dates there. It starts in the Cotter House in New Elgin at 18:30 for 1900 until 2000. Entrance is free with light refreshments available. There again, there are a few of these leaflets which I'll put on the welcome table, and you'll be able to help yourselves to one if you're interested. And it has the dates of it. And I see also it says you don't have to come to them all, you can pick and choose what you go to. Okay, now I think there's just one more. And it's that Man to Man is on Wednesday at 7:30 here. Personal testimonials, sorry Margaret, I'm having a job reading your writing. On good times, bad times, or whatever you would like to share. That's on Wednesday evening, Man to Man. And not to be outdone, on Friday evening, this coming week, at 7 p.m. In the church hall, there's cake and eat it. There's actually a bit about this in the bulletin this morning, so you can read the details there. But that's Man to Man on Wednesday and Cake and Eat It on Friday. Thank you. The choir will now sing the introit.
Good morning. Open invitation to next week or next Sunday's communion. It's an open invitation. Remember, it's communion next week, and I think also a wonderful celebration of being saved through Christ Jesus. So join us next week for that. This morning, the opening psalm is Psalm 46, and I'll read it unto us as a prayer. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord Almighty is with us. Amen. I greet you in the name of our Father, Creator, Son, and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning on my entrance, someone asked me, so how does it work in church if we don't know the tradition of the Reformed Church or the Protestant Church? Why do you use different texts or sermons every Sunday? And I thought that was a good question because we are all right with it, but why do we do it? And the person said, you were still preaching from Genesis and then the next Sunday you got something else up your sleeve. And I thought, yes, a very good question. So today we, and I explained it that through the 3 years in church in general, we follow the lecture or the Bible reading with the Catholic Church, the church around the world, going through the Bible in a 3 year rota period or time. And I don't necessarily always follow it. But what I do try to do is to keep to the calendar of the church. And we are in, this morning at the end of Epiphany, before Lent and before Easter. So usually the text will grab on to the church time and calendar of the period and try to focus there. And therefore this morning we focus on the Transfiguration. And last year, the same Sunday, I also preached on the same text. So if you made a mark in your Bible, it's fine. You will hear a different sermon, or I'll test you asking questions about last year. Just to give some background, why do we in church use different texts and not just continue right through the Bible with a certain book? What we do in Connect is we do Paul's life and setting. So there's a definite theme going through. All right, enough said about that. God greeted us and we are in his presence. So let's greet him back. And our first hymn, God of great and God of small. Hallelujah, praise be to your name.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, as we gather here in this place and this time, a familiar place, a time set in our calendars, we thank you that we are here to meet you afresh. May this gathering today be a time and space when we find a moment in and out of time. A moment of meeting with you when the daily veil that at times covers our world and our lives is removed and we see your glory. Glory revealed in the beauty of the universe that you've created. Beauty revealed in the community we are part of. Beauty revealed to us in your word. And most of all, beauty revealed in the love of you, Jesus Christ. Help us again today to come away with you to a quiet place, to meet with you in new ways, ways that help us glimpse who things really when what they are when we truly seek you and come into your presence, when we truly allow your light to transform us and also the world we live in. Hear us when we pray together, Jesus, as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. A wonderful praise hymn. Now thank we all our God. This was the first hymn I learned as a little boy in primary one. Didn't understand the words, but I loved it. And today a wonderful hymn saying, thank you, God, for leading us. We can remain standing and confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Thank you.
Our reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 to 9, and the title is The Transfiguration. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up to the high mountains by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like a sun, and his clothes became white as the light. Just then appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love with all I am pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came up and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead."
As a prayer to hearing the scripture reading and the sermon, let's sing CH 4252, and we could sit while we sing it. As a fire is meant for burning with a bright and warming flame, so God also guides us in his mission. I am quite aware, especially this morning, and not necessarily knowing circumstances of people preparing for the sermon, that we have different folks among us, which does find change in their lives a bit upsetting or unsettling right now. And at most levels of life or seasons of life, we are all dealing with change. It's a given. I wanted to say, apart from God and change, everything changes. It's one of those given things. Sometimes it's change we choose ourselves, and to change our circumstances might be quite a big step in our lives. Maybe you've experienced it in your life. Let's take something silly as just taking up a diet or a better eating lifestyle. The next morning when you get up, you ask yourself, what did I get into? Thinking about a lovely chocolate there back in the cupboard, or something you need to give up for the rest of the day or the week. But yes, getting serious, we've all gotten up the next morning wondering what just happened and what do I do now in my life. Sometimes change, it's things we want, and other times it's things we wished for, or it's unwanted change. And sometimes we experience the change as positive, and sometimes as good, and obviously other times change could be painful, and a loss of something we valued or something we wanted. Whether we see it as good or bad, desired or unwanted, change always comes with consequences. There's always challenges and there's always questions. I suspect every one of us could tell their own story this morning about change you've experienced in your life. The changes that are happening maybe in your life right now, or the changes that you hope for or that you fear of happening. How do we live in the midst of change? And what handholds do we have when change or our world around us starts changing? I wonder if the disciples in the episode of the Transfiguration might be asking the same type of questions, and if they too were feeling the wind of change in their lives, being on the mountain and going down. You see, immediately before Jesus takes Peter and John and James up the mountain, he actually tells them, and he's not warning them, but it's my words, telling them that change is bound to happen. He's going to be crucified, he's going to die, and he's going to be resurrected. He tells them when they go up, before they go up the mountain, and when they come down. What happened on the mountain took place between Jesus' two statements of impending change. And maybe that event, what we call the Transfiguration, was about preparing and helping the disciples live through the coming change in their own lives. And maybe the Transfiguration story or episode has something to teach and show us about how we live in our own lives in the midst of change. And maybe that's why every year the Transfiguration in the Gospel we hear on this specific Sunday, the last Sunday of Epiphany, the Sunday before the season of Lent, is the focus in our church. Change, whether on the mountaintop of life or even in the valley of the shadow of death, is a reality to all of us. The first thing I hear in this text, and I said it's quite different from last year's sermon, the first thing I hear in this text is when there's a commandment saying, listen to him or listen to Jesus. One of the things I'm aware of when I'm in the midst of change is how many voices begins to speak. Some are outside of me and some are from within me. There are voices of commentators chattering or blathering about. What it happens is sometimes it's voices telling me what to do, voices of judgment, voices of second guessings, voices of fear. There are voices within myself of self-doubt, self-criticism, and all the would-haves and could-haves and should-haves, I think you know them as well. Some voices tell us to run and hide, and others tell us to fight and resist. Some voices ask questions and want explanations. Other voices denies what is happening. It blames or declares it to be the end of the world for us. So many voices cry out for our attention. But as we know, not every voice, however, is helpful or worth listening to. Some voices may sound sweet, but they ain't good for us. The story or the episode of Transfiguration says there's only one voice to listen to, and that's the voice of God speaking. When he reveals over this bright cloud above Peter, James, John, saying, "This is my beloved son," and then, "Listen to him." You know, I really misread that part. This is my beloved son, because that's a focus, because we are the beloved ones in Christ. But then the next part, listen to him. What if in the midst of change, we sought to hear and listen to that one voice, the voice of Christ? What if we keep our ears open to what he is saying for our lives and even our changing world? To let ourselves become aware of and attentive to what he is saying and doing. To let his concerns and desires be my concerns and my desires. To let his way of engaging life and the world become our way of engaging with life and the world around us. It would mean that whatever change comes upon us, it does not have the final word. There is another voice. Jesus is always speaking a word larger and more powerful than all the other voices. In the midst of change, Jesus speaks a word of life, a word of hope, a word of forgiveness, a word of generosity, a word of grace, a word of welcoming, a word of beauty, and a word of mercy, a word of healing. And in the midst of change, Jesus is there. His words is for you and me. And when God tells us, listen to him, we find his words in different places of our life. The second thing I hear in this chapter or episode of the Transfiguration is that there's a commandment. When Jesus says, and this is when the disciples fell down on their faces in fear, we could think it's an awe, but I think it was probably in fear of not knowing the situation. Jesus tells them, and another part we might just read over quickly, when Jesus tells them, get up. Jesus tells them, get up. I've suspected we all faced change that has caused us to stumble and fall, and maybe emotionally or physically fell down, paralyzed, or left us overwhelmed. Again, this is not about whether the change is perceived as good or as bad. It's about regaining our balance and getting our feet back under us. It's about stepping into a new period or a new season or a new life when we ain't sure what that looks like or if there really is a new life waiting for us. Now, the three disciples, according to Matthew, tells us they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. And Jesus touches them. It's beautiful. Jesus touches them. I see them just imagining, trembling maybe in awe. But then Jesus touches them and tells them, get up. Jesus touches them. Get up. And then they get up. And you know, the same text or the same word phrase for the get up is also used in different places in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospels throughout. It's used when Jesus heals the paralytic, telling him, get up, stand up. Jesus takes the hand of the daughter of the leader of the synagogue, the dead daughter, and get up, be raised. And Jesus instructs the 12 when he sends them out, when they need to heal people or raise them from the dead, the same type, get up, be raised. Jesus foretells his own resurrection in the same context to them. And when the angel tells the woman who come to the tomb of Jesus, the angel tells the woman, he's not here, for he has been raised. So the translation could be, stand up, get up, raise yourself. Jesus comes to us in whatever circumstances of change we find ourselves. He touches us and he says, get up, be raised. It's the promise that though life has changed, it has not ended. Somehow, new life is hidden in the midst of change, even when we cannot see it or sometimes do not even believe it. God uses the changing circumstances of our own lives and world to bring us into a new season or a new life. I'm not suggesting, and just hear me out, I'm not suggesting that God directly causes change to come upon us. I'm suggesting that God never wastes a chance to draw new life forth within changes of life. And then the last thing I hear in this text or this episode is when Jesus touches them, tell them, get up. His last thing he says is, do not be afraid. Most of us, and I suspect, live with some level of fear. Change often brings about fear. The fear of losing what we love, what we value, what we desire. And sometimes it's the fear that comes with getting even what we want, not knowing what is coming our way. In the midst of change, Jesus is saying, don't be afraid. He speaks to the heart of this disciple's human condition. And they are the words we near to hear when we are raised up and back on our feet. Maybe shaking, maybe not knowing what is going to be the next episode in our lives. And these words do not magically eliminate our fear. Instead, they are the call to take a first step into a new and changed life despite our fear. They are the assurance, once again, that change does not have the final word. Christ does. Just hear this. I see the disciples again. I imagine it. Maybe fearful, maybe frightened. Come on. Get up. Maybe shaking, I don't know. And then telling them, it's not going to change your fear, but I am with you. Do not be afraid. They are the assurance, his words, once again, that change does not have the final say. He has the final say in our lives. He is our creator, and therefore we are the beloved. We are not called to be fearless, but to be courageous in the midst of change of fear. I don't know what changes you might be dealing with. Maybe it's something in your marriage or with your family or your children or situation at home or maybe a friendship. Maybe it's death of a loved one. Maybe it's about your health, your age, your physical or mental well-being. Maybe it's a concern at work, your job, your income. Maybe it's a dream or plans that did not work out you hoped it to be. And maybe life is going exactly like you wanted. And maybe you are in a good place. You're on a road of recovery and you are doing well. And maybe everything has fallen in place for you, maybe for the first time in a very long time, and you're feeling alive. And maybe some good change came about. I don't know your circumstances. But what I do hear is regardless of if you are in awe or in fear, listen to him. Stand up and don't be afraid. What if those words are holy wisdom for the times of change in our lives? What if they are the means by which we step into our own transfiguration? Maybe it wasn't only Jesus that was part of the transfiguration on the mountain. Maybe it was also the change and the transformation of the lives of those three. The disciples seeing Jesus for the first time in their lives as he is really. And maybe the eyes of Peter, James, and John were opened and their seeing changed. So that everywhere they looked, they saw Jesus himself now alone. And maybe they saw Jesus for the first time as they had to. Now, if this is true, and I believe it is, then it means that every change, whether good or bad, wanted or unwanted, joyful or sorrowful, is illumined with divine light and is filled with God's presence. And I'm ending this morning again by saying, I didn't know of, and I don't know of, all of your situations. But whatever it is, I want to remind you again. Listen to him. Stand up. Be raised. And he's telling you, don't be afraid. Amen. Lord of glory, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, as the three disciples would say, and we are in different situations of our lives sitting here this morning, within it, it is still good that we are here. Hearing your word of comfort and listening to your voice, Jesus, through the work of your Holy Spirit, we ask of you to help us to get up. Yes, situations might not change, but you tell us, touching us, you are with us. We are actually in your presence. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Lord, I ask you that this might ring and ring and ring in our thoughts, our hearts, whatever we might be facing. Whether it be bad or whether it be good. We trust in you. Help us to set our faces steadfastly to where you would have us to go in life. And we ask of you, Lord, look on us with favor. We pray this in your name as our Lord, three in one, Holy Spirit, Father, and Son. Amen. CH4, Christ Triumphant, number 436, Christ Triumphant, ever reigning. Let's sing this hymn as a confession to Christ that is always present.
Thank you.
we can bring our offering unto the Lord.
As we find enjoyment in the fellowship of our church family here, let us take a few moments to think of others and our church. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we bring before you folks who would like to be here but cannot be with us for various reasons. Those who are in poor health at this time, be it mental or physical. Lord, lift their spirits and make them aware of your love through our support. Those who find this season particularly difficult, Lord, let them see hope and promise, if only in a beam of winter sunshine which surely heralds better days. The bereaved, the lonely, the unemployed, the homeless, and those suffering from addictions, Lord, reach out to them. We pray especially for our young people and the pressures they face. And we pray for peoples everywhere, getting on with daily life, doing their best, and looking to the future with hope. We pray for people from abroad who have settled happily in our country, but fear for their future because of political uncertainty. And we pray for all working in public service, in the NHS, in private care, trade and industry, and those working on the land and on the sea. Lord, we bring before you all those affected by the recent flooding in other parts of Britain. Strengthen them to cope with restoring their shattered lives. We pray at this time for those affected by the new viral threat sweeping the world. We ask you to be with people infected and those caring for them, We pray that the authorities may be successful in their efforts to contain this virus. Lord, we ask for your presence with the families of innocent victims of violence sustained while going about their daily lives. Ease their heartbreak and confusion. Bless the Queen and her family as they go through turbulent times in the spotlight of the media. Bless our government, both nationally and locally, that they make wise decisions which affect our future. Lord, we ask your blessing on Atty, who has so enriched our church lives and shown us a completely fresh way of looking at the scriptures through his preaching. We ask your blessing on the homes and families of all gathered here as we go from this place in this short prayer. Calm us, Lord, as you still the storm. Still us, Lord, keep us from harm. Let all the tumult within us cease. Lord, enfold us in your peace. Finally, we pray for the future of our church, for possible change, but that it be allowed to continue to provide a beacon of reassurance within the parish. And we thank you for all those who use their talents to keep it functioning, be it through assisting with worship and young people, music, hospitality, finance and administration, or with care and maintenance. We pray that others may feel encouraged to come forward and continue this service to you in the time to come. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So many times at the background, so many people are contributing to the service and activities. And when you mentioned it in your prayers just now, thank you for that, Marlene. But thank you to everyone. I think of Donna doing the bulletin. Thank you. The bulletin the past 3 weeks, of Roy, who usually does it, of Laura and Evelyn, the choir, the Kirk session, doing the rotas. Thank you for everything. It's not one person. We are all gathered within Christ. But thank you very much for using your gifts for that. Our last hymn, a favorite for some and not for others. Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, shine upon us. Let us sing this. Well, I like it. And let us sing this wonderful hymn also as a prayer. Lord, be with us in different circumstances of our lives. the guarding of the God of life be on you, and the guarding of the loving Christ be on you, and the guarding of the Holy Spirit be on you, to aid you and enfold you each day and night of your lives. Amen.